Singing legend Johnny Mathis comes to East Lansing on Thursday night. His career began at age 19 and has spanned decades worth of popular favorites. He's especially known for his holiday music, and his newest release features Christmas duets and will be out at the end of the month. WKAR's Melissa Benmark spoke with Johnny Mathis and asked him, why so many Christmas albums?
Over the years, I recorded a lot of Christmas music. Initially, I did it to sort of pay tribute to my mom, who always made Christmas really special for my seven brothers and sisters and I. And this is another effort to record some more Christmas music. It really kind of took off, and people have told me over the years how much the music that I've done for Christmas has meant to them. So I got into the studio, and we went to Nashville with a wonderful producer and a lot of very famous singers, Vince Gill and his wife.
Amy Grant.
And several other wonderful singers. And we did some duets. And also, I got a chance to once again honor my mom by singing some beautiful Christmas music. So looking forward to my next few concerts around that time to sing some more Christmas music.
You are so well known for your Christmas albums. When you're the guy that everyone listens to in order to get into the Christmas spirit, what do you listen to around the holidays? What's your go-to record?
Oh, gosh. I was part of an album years ago, maybe about 10 or 12 years ago, and I can't remember right now the name of the guy who produced it and also got all of the people together for the album. David Foster, that's his name. And it turned out to be quite a successful Christmas album. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. And on the album, there were several of my favorite singers in the world singing Christmas music. That is the album that I keep on constantly. I am a part of it, of course, and I was very proud of what we did. But the David Foster Christmas album is the one that I think I play most at holiday time.
One of the people you've said inspired you was Lena Horne. And I've sometimes wondered if being inspired by a vocalist who is of the opposite sex really stretches you, because you can't actually do exactly what they do just by virtue of how the voices are different. So you're kind of forced to find out what you can do that will convey the song in the same way that you like what they're doing that conveys the song.
I think the thing that I took away from Lena Horne was her concentration when she performed. Her effort was totally concentrated in every nuance of every song that she sang. And that's the thing that fascinated me. She sang great songs. And over the years, I got to meet her and to speak to her a little bit about what she did and the process that she did. And she told me that on many occasions, the songs that I was hearing that she recorded and performed were songs that she had worked on and practiced for 2-3 years before she performed them. And things like that always fascinated me because that's exactly what happened to me over the years, is I worked and worked on certain songs and never really felt comfortable performing them until, 2 or 3 years later. The thing that I still get frustrated about is I have to record music sometimes before I really, really, really know it.
Right. Deadlines.
Yeah. And that bothers me a lot, because years later I listen to it and I go, oh, gosh, I wish I'd done this or I wish I'd done that. But the spontaneity, I guess, sometimes is the thing that overrides my expectations.
You have recorded so many albums and so many songs, but have you ever found one that you really wanted to do and it just always confounded you? You just could never quite get it to where you wanted it?
Oh, gosh. The one that sticks in my mind, it's not an album per se, but it's a song. Moon River that my buddy Henry Mancini and I became good buddies at a very early age at the World's Fair in Seattle. And I invited Henry for the first time to go on stage and perform some of the music that he had recorded. And it just changed his whole life. He was so excited to actually play his music for people in concert. And of course, so we became really good buddies, and over the years I recorded so much of his music. But the one song that I did before I really kind of knew it, I recorded his iconic, Moon River, and I don't think I did it very well. I spoke to Andy Williams, of course, who did do it very well, and told him how disappointed I had been over the years that I hadn't sung it better or done the production a little bit better. But that's the one thing, because of my closeness to Henry, I wanted it to be so special, and it wasn't. But I tried to make up for it over the years by singing possibly every song he ever wrote.
One thing that people may or may not know about you is that you were an outstanding high school track athlete, record high jumper, might have gone to the Olympics, but decided to pursue singing. Do you think that there's a correlation between being physically fit and being a successful singer?
Oh, I think you can't go wrong keeping yourself physically fit. About 25 years ago, I was on the golf course with one of the iconic physical fitness gurus, a son of a diminutive little man, but he had a television program for years on physical fitness.
And it wasn't Jack LaLanne.
Jack LaLanne.
Yeah.
That was him, yeah. Anyway, I did a golf tournament, celebrity golf tournament, and he was my partner. And he congratulated me on the fact that I seemed to be in pretty good physical shape, and he said, how's your workout routine? And I said, well, I don't have one because I don't exercise. And he says, oh, John, he said, you must promise me that you'll exercise. He says, it's the only thing that's going to keep you in good shape and keep you motivated as you get a little bit older. And he was absolutely right. I had a couple of situations where I had surgery, hip surgery and back surgery. And according to instructions that I got afterwards were some exercise routines. And I just sort of kept it up. And then I met a guy on the golf course who was a kinesiologist. And I had no idea what that meant. But anyway, I found out later, but it has a lot to do with exercise and the movement of the body. And I started a routine, an hour and 15-minute routine. And that was 25 years ago. And I've been keeping it up 5 days a week, low these many years. That is the thing that keeps me feeling good. And just, I don't think, no way in the world that I could get myself up to perform and sing if I didn't feel good. So I would say to anybody who's going to do any kind of performance, that a good exercise routine will be a godsend to them.
You inspire me. I'm going to have to get on the bike when I get home.
And you know what? It's never too late.
Oh, yeah. That's good advice. That is very good advice. Well, one final question for you before we let you go. You've sold over 350 million records, Lifetime Achievement Award in 2003, awarded by the Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, the Grammy Hall of Fame, and of course being, as you would say, the iconic voice of Christmas music for many generations. What in the world do you aspire to after achieving all that?
The thing that I think most people in my situation have in mind is, when is it going to end? Or is it going to end? Or what can I do to prolong it? Those are the things that go through my mind. I listen to my voice, and of course it's quite different now from what it was when I was a kid. I started recording when I was 19 years old. So I play some of those records and go, oh my goodness, I don't think I can do that anymore. And so what you do is you find out what you can do and try to keep that as a motivation. And that's what I do now. I also think that the fact that that people hear my music at Christmas time, it kind of refreshes their memory about my career. And so I do have an audience to sing for, and that is the thing that really motivates me. I know that I'm going to go on stage and sing, and I have to make sure that I can sing. And every morning that I wake up, that's what I think about. How is the voice?
Well, Mr. Johnny Mathis, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree.